I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle word on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Softly smile, I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the
unmistakable sounds of the Beach Boys and Good Vibrations. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ross Nielsen. I am your host for Killer Tunes right here on 95.7 The Wolf FM and perhaps on your interwebs as well. This week's episode is all about the siblings, all about the siblings of rock and roll. How could I not start off today's show with the Beach Boys? Dennis, Brian, Carl Wilson, their cousin Mike Love, and friend Al Jardine. Legendary band, ladies and gentlemen. One of the greats of all times. Of course, Good Vibrations, 1966, released as a standalone single shortly after Pet Sounds came out, I believe. At the time, one of the most expensive recordings in the history of rock, and of course went on to become one of the most revered recordings and one of the finest uses of the recording studio. That's all Brian Wilson, the genius of Brian Wilson, ladies and gentlemen. Not sure if you've seen the movie Love and Mercy. It's a biopic about Brian. It's fantastic. Stars John Cusack, who sort of plays like a middle-aged Brian, and Paul Dano, who plays Wilson from that era in the mid-60s when he kind of descents a little bit into madness slash genius. Around that time, he stopped touring with the band and hit the studio and came up, of course, with one of the most legendary albums in the history of music, Pet Sounds. And I saw the Beach Boys when I was a teenager. Really great experience. But, you know, I knew the surf tunes and the hits and stuff. But as a true lover of, I came to them late. And most recently, I've been getting into them a little more heavily. That tune, Good Vibrations, the guitar, the vocals, everything is the key. The tempo changes. It's just such a masterpiece. And recently I was on the YouTube there, and Brian is actually touring with, of course, Dennis. Ironically met his fate in 83 when he drowned. Brian is touring Pet Sounds right now with Al Jardine and his son. And there's some YouTube footage of them in a studio doing some tunes. And man, you want to talk about real? Holy moly, the vocals, the playing, it is unbelievable to watch and listen to, and to realize that people still make that kind of music. People still have that caliber of talent within them to perform like that. It's truly something, ladies and gentlemen, in this day and age. You know, can't have a show about siblings without playing this next group. I'm going to take you to, I believe it was 1969. This was their first number one hit, presented by Diana Ross. I'm, of course, talking about Michael, Tito, Jackie, Jermaine, Marlon, and Johnny Jackson, the Jackson 5, technically the Jackson 6, but the Jackson 5. I don't know if that's because a couple of them only sang backup vocals. They only made up one Jackson between the two of them or what. But this is an amazing song, one of the greats of all times, definitely one of Motown's finest hits, and a number one hit. This is I Want You Back by the Jackson 5. Thank you.
Charms whenever I want you. All I have to do is dream, 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 dream. When I feel blue in the night and I need you to hold me tight, whenever I want you, all I have to do is dream. Of wine anytime, night or day. Only trouble is, gee whiz, I'm dreaming my life away. I need you so that I could die. I love you so, and that is why whenever I want you, all I have to do is dream. Taste your lips of wine anytime, night or day. Only trouble is, gee whiz, I'm dreaming my life away. I need you so that I could die. I love you so, and that is why whenever I want you, all I have to do.
That's the beautiful sounds of the Everly Brothers, ladies and gentlemen, one of the most legendary siblings bands ever. Of course, with the siblings, if you have siblings, you know, comes the rivalry, comes the arguments. There's a special thing with families where there is no filter, there's no punches pulled. It's straight for the throat, if you will. And the Everlys were no different. Phil and Don Everly had a storied decades-long, off and on again, hot and cold relationship. Of course, in the meantime, they managed to make some incredible music right up until, I think the wiki page says something like 1971 or something like that. Their final show, like one of them, I guess, I think Don was a bit more of a partier and Phil was a bit more straight edge. And I think that created some obvious tension between the two, and one would get on the other's case about it and vice versa. But I guess their last show together, Don was a little bit on the drunk side, and Phil got really upset and smashed his guitar on stage and walked off, and leaving Don to finish the show by himself. And that was in, I think, in the early 70s, perhaps. And it says that reportedly they did not speak to each other for almost a decade after that, except at their dad's funeral. And of course, they did do a reunion quite some time later on. But storied and legendary feuding brothers right there. But what a beautiful song. You just can't beat sibling harmonies, ladies and gentlemen. The blend, the telepathy, oh my God, it just creates some of the best singing and playing ever. So I'm going to jump ahead to a more recent act now. This is one of my latest favorite bands. The band is called Dawes. I played them a few episodes ago, and I've just been looking for an excuse to play them again because I love this album so much. The album is called All Your Favorite Bands. It's fantastic. It's a couple years old, or year old now, I guess. But just a really wonderful mix of great songwriting, great playing, really humbly produced. Just it sounds so good. Some of the best lyrics I've heard in a really long time. the band kind of grew out of a band called Simon Dawes, which was some of these members, and then the West Coast guitar player, Blake Mills, who's a mind-blowing guitar player and producer with attachments to the Wallflowers and Alabama Shakes. He produced their last album, really great record. Anyways, the latest album is, there's been a couple hits off of it, but I'm going to play one of the deeper cuts. This is a song called Right on Time. I just love the story and the lyrics here. And again, you know, sibling vocals, these guys, Taylor Goldsmith, Griffin Goldsmith, are the siblings, accompanied on bass by Wiley Gelber. And now, as of late, Dwayne Betts plays guitar, who of course is the son of the great Dickie Betts. And they're sounding better than ever. So check this out. And if you dig this, I encourage you to go back and seek out some of their other stuff. Just a really wonderful band in a modern kind of era, doing something that not everyone does, which is writing, singing, and playing great songs. Boys and girls, remember that? Remember good songs? Remember when people wrote and played good songs? Here's one, Right on Time.
Time.
song. Great song. That's Dawes, the band with Right on Time off of their last album, All Your Favorite Bands. Folks, this is Killer Tunes. I'm Ross Nielsen. We are rocking a bunch of tunes with famous siblings in the band. And I'm going to go out on the first half of the show with one of the most famous sibling rivalry bands. Of course, I'm talking about Oasis. Oasis ruled the charts for a good number of years in the 90s into the 2000s. Legendary feuds between Liam and Noel Gallagher, the brothers. I'm going to play one of my favorite Oasis tunes, Champagne Supernova, off of a live release called Familiar to Millions. Great live album released in 2000, kind of maybe at the end of the peak of their powers or in the middle. A lot of people went through this band, including a little trivia for you. Zach Starkey played drums for them for a year or so. Yeah, of course, that's Ringo Starr's son, who is the longtime drummer for The Who now. I know at some point there was a double arena tour with the Black Crowes and Oasis as a co-headlining bill, and I thought, what a friggin' disaster. Like, two pairs of brothers who reportedly can't stand to be in the same room as each other on the same tour bill. Like, what is wrong with promoters who thinks that that's a good idea and it's going to work out? I think it goes without saying that I'm a huge Black Crowes fan, and I would love to have gone to see those shows with the Crowes and Oasis. I wasn't a huge Oasis fan at the time of their popularity. I came to them actually through this Familiar to Millions, the live album is how I got to them. And finally enjoyed their music. But here's one from that album. This is a cut that I just love. Champagne Supernova. We'll be back after we pay some bills. Looking forward to yammering at you in the second half of the show. Lots of rock and roll coming up here on Killer Tunes.
Some people change. How many lives are living strange? Where we are, why we're getting high. Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball. Where we are, why we're getting high. Someday you'll find me company for less high. And it's Supernova, the sky. So
some people change. How many lives are living strange? Why were you, why were we getting high? Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball. Why were you, why were we getting high? Sometimes
welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ross Nielsen. You're listening to Killer Tunes. I thank you for joining us for the second half of today's program. We've been rocking tunes by siblings in rock and roll. We ended the first half with the Gallagher Brothers, a little bit of Oasis, and we're kicking off the second half with another legendary Family Feud band, the Black Crowes, Chris and Rich Robinson. Legendary, legendary Family Feud band. This is Remedy off of Southern Harmony Musical Companion, one of my Desert Island albums. Please enjoy.
If I could,
1976, that is the Wilson Sisters, Ann and Nancy, their band Heart, Crazy on You from their debut album. I love that tune. I love that album. There's a number of Heart songs that just really get going for me. Of course, legendary band. You can't turn on classic rock radio without hearing Barracuda chugging away at you. The girls, although the beginning of the band is complicated, but it really, in my mind, really took off when they ended up in Vancouver in Canada in the early 70s. Of course, their debut album, I think, was 75 or 76, Dreamboat Annie. Just amazing rock record with some of the greatest rock vocals of all time. And just a really wonderful band for the time, writing some really good music. But of course, 10 years later, in the mid to late 80s, they would actually really, really blow the doors off their career. Of course, my heart leans towards, no pun intended, the earlier era, but commercially speaking, they certainly knocked it out of the park in that time frame, in the late 80s. Okay, I'm going to go a little more rock and roll on you here. I don't know what could be said about this band. I'm talking about AC/DC. I'm talking about Angus. I'm talking about Malcolm. It's kind of sad now. You know, they're still touring. They've had, you know, just plagued the past couple of years. Of course, Malcolm has dementia. He's in a home. He's out of the picture. I believe their nephew or cousin is playing guitar for them now. That's sad. Malcolm, in my mind, was the heart, and I think Angus has even said this, was the heart and soul of the band. You know, just legendary songwriter, you know, just made everything he could out of three chords chugging away. Of course, more recently, Brian Johnson's been in the news, ousted of the band because he's got hearing issues or something. They got Axl Rose to do a half dozen or maybe 10 shows. You know, if you've listened to the show, you know I love Guns N' Roses. People, I love Guns N' Roses. They're part of my musical DNA. That, to me, is so friggin' weird. Like, would you get, like, Brian Johnson to sing Guns N' Roses tunes? No, you wouldn't. I don't know. I just think it's odd. And to be honest with you, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I watched the YouTubes of it, but it's just weird, man. You know, like maybe it's time to take a break or just do something different. Like Angus is a megastar. You know, he could do whatever he wanted under any name with any singer. Just try something different, for God's sakes. I know they're, you know, reportedly doing it for the fans so that they can you know, fulfill contractual obligations, blah, blah, blah. But whatever. I don't know. It's all weird to me. However, what's not weird is the amazing, amazing legacy they have. I'm going to play my favorite AC/DC song of all time. If you know me well, you know nothing gets my groove on like this tune, recorded on Dirty Deeds, done dirt cheap, and later re-released on Who Made Who. But we're going to do the Dirty Deeds version. You know, Bon Scott just knocking it out of the park here, man. I love this song so much. Ride on, AC/DC.
It's another lonely evening in another lonely town, but I ain't too young to worry, I ain't too old to cry. When a woman gets me down, got another empty bottle, and another empty bed. Ain't too young to admit it, now I'm not too old to lie. I'm just another empty head. The road, thumb another heart. But I ain't too young to realize that I ain't too old to try. Try to get back to the start. And it's another red light night. Sure and hard to beat.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. The Kinks, you really got me. You can have the Van Halen version. I'll take that version every single time. I looked through for some Van Halen to play, and I came to the conclusion that I guess I'm not really a Van Halen fan. Of course, I have appreciation for them. There's some tunes that I really enjoy, but I don't own anything. And as I was looking through iTunes for something to pick up to play on this show, I just couldn't find anything that moved me. So on a sibling show, I'm not going to play any Van Halen. Yeah, I'm okay with that. If you don't like it, turn the channel. It's too late, though, because the show's almost over. No disrespect to Van Halen. Obviously legends and have made their kind of impact on rock and roll history. Just wasn't feeling it myself. What I am feeling, though, is the love, ladies and gentlemen. I'm feeling the love. Ross Nielsen here at Killer Tunes, sending out some love back at you. Thank you for listening today, whether it's in your car or your computer or 95.7 The Wolf there in Fredericktown. I'm out in Saskatoon tracking this for you, drinking coffee, enjoying myself. It's a beautiful day. I want to just convey to you that, it's a beautiful day. It's not gone yet. We can get out there and we can get in the sunshine and we can spread a little love around. I think it's a good idea. It's nice to be nice, ladies and gentlemen. It's nice to be nice. It's easy to be sleazy. So put a little effort in and be nice to your fellow friends, your man, your strangers, your lady, your dogs, your cats, whatever you got to be nice to. Be nice. Your plants. Talk to your plants. I talk to mine. They love it. Going out here on the sibling show with one of my all-time favorite songs. This is As Long As I Can See the Light by Creedence Clearwater Revival. Man, I'll tell you, you want to talk about siblings and lawsuits and issues, it doesn't get any longer than this band. John Fogerty, Tom Fogerty, Stu Cook, Doug Clifford, that's the band. Of course, they were a hit machine in the early 70s. Their peak success, 69 to 70, they kind of crested, and then by 72, they were broken up. Tom had left the band a year earlier because he could no longer take his baby brother's attitude. John wanted to do it all. He was a dictator, writing all the songs, telling people what to do. Hard to deny the fact that they sold a bazillion records in the era that John had taken control. Lots of lawsuits with Fantasy Records, their label at the time. John, I think as of 72 or 73, had decided to not play CCR Live anymore because he didn't want to give the owner of Fantasy Records any royalties. He's a serious MF, ladies and gentlemen, serious. Just like pumped out hits. Like, what a talent this guy was. And eventually, in the 80s, did start performing some CCR again. And I caught him in 97, I think, in Vancouver after he had put out his long-awaited follow-up to Center Field. I think it was called Swamp Moon Fever or something like that. And it was a decent record, actually. Blue Moon Swamp, that was the name of the album. My bad. Decent record for someone who had taken a sweet time putting something out. I caught him in Vancouver at the beautiful Orpheum Theater. No, what is it called? The Orpheum there? Whatever it is, it's gorgeous. And, man, he rocked for 3 hours. He played like 27 CCR tunes and three solo tunes. It was just amazing. Just everything you could possibly want to hear. He sounded great. He played great. Just can't say enough good about it. It was so, so worth it. So we're going to go out on another, famous sibling rivalry batch of tune here. And this is my favorite CCR tune. It's a mellow one, but it's gorgeous. And it's got a nice sentiment. Put a candle in the window. Put a candle in the window, man. I'm coming home. I want to see where that home is. Ladies and gentlemen, big love to you. Ross Nielsen signing off for another episode of Killer Tunes. I hope to see you next week. Same time, same place, same channel, same internet site, same pair of headphones, whatever you got to do, just do it. I look forward to seeing you. Stay good. Be nice to one another. Big love. Long as I can see the light.
leave me alone.